to the time for the report of the Committee on Boards. Brother J. Ray Garrett of Washington, D.C. will present this report. The brethren are coming in. You will please come in as quietly as possible. This is a very important report that is being brought to you and should be listened to sympathetically and with interest as well. Brother Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the convention, your committee on board brings to you the following report. This is a rather lengthy report. We'll read it as quickly as we possibly can. And wherever I can, we will designate in the beginning the year when their term of office expires without designating that with each one. For the executive committee, all of whom terms expire in 1957 unless otherwise designated. James L. Monroe, Alabama. L. M. Smith, Alabama. Kendall Berry, Arkansas. M. H. Mabry, Florida. John A. Jones, Georgia. A. B. Hawks, Georgia. James M. Baldwin, Illinois, term expiring in 1956. Frank Norfleet, Kentucky, 57. Philip H. Wilson, Kentucky. E. N. Wilkinson, Kentucky. Hurster Hewitt, Mississippi. W. A. Buckner, Missouri. C. C. Warren, North Carolina. T. P. Pruitt, North Carolina. Mrs. Gordon Madry, North Carolina. Douglas M. Branch, North Carolina. Herschel H. Hobb, Oklahoma. Haskell McLean, Oklahoma. Homer Waldrop, Tennessee. Sterling L. Price, Texas. Carr P. Collins, Sr., Texas. B.J. Martin, Texas. Carol Chadwick, Texas. Curtis English, Virginia. And then our convention officers, Dr. J.W. Storer, James W. Merritt, Mrs. George R. Martin. Foreign Mission Board, terms expiring in 57. Preston B. Sellers, Florida. Arthur Rutledge, Texas. Robert E. Humphreys, Kentucky. W. Maxey Jarman, Tennessee. E. S. James, Texas. James W. Middleton, Louisiana. Howard M. Kinlaw, South Carolina. Monroe F. Swilly, Jr., Georgia. F. Quisenhunt, North Carolina. Mrs. F. J. Farmer, North Carolina. Mrs. R. L. Mathis, Texas, term expiring in 1956. Harry Garrett, Illinois, in 56. W. O. Vaught, Jr., Arkansas, in 56. Local members, all terms expiring in 57. Garris T. Long, Virginia. Oscar L. Height, Virginia. L. Howard Jenkins, Virginia. Howard L. Arthur, Virginia. Salon B. Cousins, Virginia. T. Shad Medlin, Virginia. The Home Mission Board, all terms expiring in 1957. Q. R. Bumpus, Oklahoma. M. W. Edgerton, Tennessee. Laurie Hildreth, Texas. James T. Shirley, Missouri. Harry P. Claus, Maryland. Henry J. Brannan, Texas. Fred B. Pearson, Alabama. Beecher Rhodes, Virginia. J. H. Avery, Florida. Louis S. Gaines, North Carolina. Local board members in 57, Mrs. George F. Boyd, Georgia. C.G. Cole, Georgia. R.L. O'Brien, Georgia. O.M. Siegler, Georgia. E.B. Shivers, Sr., Georgia. Mrs. R.N. Landers, Georgia. Guy W. Rutland, Sr., Georgia, term expiring in 1956. The Sunday School Board, terms expiring in 57. Kenneth M. Hayes, Maryland. William P. Phillips, Texas. W. A. Criswell, Texas. John L. Dodge, Arkansas. Paul Whelan, Texas, Tennessee. A. Warren Hoyt, Florida. G. Norman Price, Mississippi. D. F. Risk, Missouri. C. T. Underwood, Georgia. Howard J. Ford, North Carolina. Howard M. Reeves, Alabama, term expiring in 1956. M.O. Owens, Jr., North Carolina, term expiring in 1955. Local board members, all terms expiring in 57. Joe C. Carr, Tennessee. B.W. Potts, Tennessee. Howard Hooper, Tennessee. Herschel Emery, Tennessee. Harold J. Purdy, Tennessee. Howard P. Kirksey, Tennessee. For the Relief and Annuity Board, all terms expiring in 1957. Arthur Farmer, Illinois. Brady R. Justice, Alabama. H. P. Amos, Florida. Robert L. Palmer, Tennessee. W. L. Shuttleworth, Texas. Leonard A. Stevens, Georgia. W. C. Bluster, Arkansas. J. C. Siegler, Oklahoma. Ronald E. Wall, North Carolina. E. Douglas Carver, Texas. Local board members, terms expiring in 57, Wallace Bassett, Texas. Horace J. Blackwell, Texas. Paul Dana, Texas. Harry Harlan, Texas. H. E. Yarber, Texas. Ivy Boggs, Texas. For the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, terms expiring in 59 unless otherwise designated. W. L. Ball, Jr., South Carolina. Millard J. Burkquist, Florida. Wade H. Bryant, Virginia. H. C. Croslin, Jr., Illinois. Ralph L. Douglas, Arkansas. Lawrence A. Free, Maryland. H. I. Hester, Missouri. W. R. Pettigrew, Kentucky. George Ritchie, Louisiana. Wallace R. Rogers, South Carolina. Wade Armstrong, Oklahoma, term expiring in 1955. Jack DeVore, New Mexico, term expiring in 56. Herbert E. Bergstrom, New Mexico, term expiring in 57. Ernest L. Hantz, Virginia, term expiring in 57. Roy C. McClung, Oklahoma, term expiring in 55. Max O'Neill, Georgia, term expiring in 55. James F. Burris, South Carolina, term expiring in 56. Members at large, both expiring in 1959. V.V. Cook, Kentucky. Leo T. Wolford, Kentucky. For the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, term expiring in 59 unless otherwise designated. B. Finney Bragg, Maryland. J. Thurman George, Oklahoma. Byron F. Todd, California. James A. Howard, South Carolina. H. Marshall Smith, Texas. Walter Mitchell, District of Columbia. Lynn Smith Allen, Kentucky, term expiring in 1956. New Orleans Baptist Seminary, term expiring in 59. Slater A. Murphy, Tennessee. Wayne K. Rivers, Georgia. Local board members, Edward F. Chavin, Louisiana. O.J. Farnsworth, Louisiana. T. Otis Wynn, Louisiana. Harris M. Warren, Louisiana. Floyd Lewis, Louisiana, term expiring in 55. Louis J. Bristow, Sr., Louisiana, term expiring in 58. The Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, terms expiring in 59. Clyde E. Balcom, North Carolina. Oscar A. Davis, Alabama. J. Frank Hickson, Kentucky. Charles W. Knight, Florida. R. Paul Caudill, Tennessee, term expiring in 1956. Local board members, J. L. Brantley, California. Clarence Kennedy, California, both terms in 1959. And V. V. Brazil, California, term expiring in 1957. For the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, terms expiring in 59. Wilson Akins, New Mexico. Lawrence W. Clellan, Missouri. Hugh M. Lindsay, Georgia. Chauncey M. Daly, Kentucky. Local board members, J. Glenn Blackburn, North Carolina. John W. Kinchlow, Jr., North Carolina. of the Southern Baptist Hospital, terms expiring in 57, unless otherwise designated, Joe R. Baker, Oklahoma, H. B. Long, California, Boyce H. Moody, Maryland, Bradley Allison, Missouri, Henry W. Tiffany, Virginia, Harvey T. Whaley, Texas, W. H. Hicks, Arkansas, term expiring in 1955. Local board members, all in 57, John Hall Jacobs, Louisiana, A. W. Merritt, Louisiana, C. E. McFarland, Louisiana. Local board members for the hospital at Jacksonville, Florida, Marion W. Goodin, Florida, Hardy M. Harrell, Florida, J. R. White, Florida, all terms expiring in 1957. For the Southern Baptist Foundation, terms expiring in 57, unless designated, Russell W. Brothers, Tennessee, Earl Cock, Georgia, V. V. Cook, Kentucky, Ernest Minch, Tennessee, W. A. Duncan, Georgia, Frank A. Hooper, Georgia, Jack C. Massey, Tennessee, William L. Wyatt, North Carolina, W. Fred Kendall, Tennessee, Andrew D. Tanner, Tennessee, Herschel Emery, Tennessee, Cecil Travis, Mississippi, term expiring in 1956. This recommendation in regard to the Southern Baptist Foundation is brought to you that those who are on the foundation by virtue of membership of representing another board be so indicated in the annual. That perhaps would just be a matter of record for the secretaries to make it easier for the committee on boards in their future consideration. For the Education Committee, all terms expiring in 1957, P.P. Burns, Alabama, George Connell, Georgia, H. Leo Edelman, Kentucky, E.F. Haight, South Carolina, C. Howard Hopkins, Florida, W.A. Carlton, California, Ralph Phelps, Arkansas. For the Christian Life Commission, terms expiring in 57 unless otherwise designated, Dale Cowling, Arkansas, Phil Maxwell, Florida, C. Douglas Jackson, Georgia, W.D. Ogletree, Alabama, Walter D. Thompson, California, J. Guy Saunders, Maryland, term expiring in 1956. Local board members, Carl P. Daw, Tennessee, 57, Fred L. Ball, Tennessee, term expiring in 1957, J. Thomas Bryan, Tennessee, 57, Howard P. Colson, Tennessee, term expiring in 1956, Daniel R. Grant, Tennessee, term expiring in 56, R. K. Galloway, Tennessee, term expiring in 56, Mrs. A. Roy Green, Tennessee, term expiring in 1955, Mrs. Albert McClellan, Tennessee, term expiring in 1955. The Radio Commission, terms expiring in 1957, Robert J. Hastings, Illinois, Fred C. Eastham, Missouri, J.R. Nofsinger, Florida, Verlin Crutchwitz, Kentucky, Vernon B. Richardson, Maryland, J. Roy Weber, Louisiana, E.J. Cobb, Arizona, Robert S. Kerr, Oklahoma, term expiring in 1955, Gerald Trussell, Arkansas, term expiring in 1956. Members at large, Carr P. Collins, Jr., term expiring in 57, Roy O. McLean, Georgia, term expiring in 57, E. Russell Purdy, Kentucky, term expiring in 57, J. H. Landis, Texas, term expiring in 1955. The Historical Commission, W. J. Carswell, Georgia, all of these are term expiring in 57 unless otherwise designated. W.J. Carswell, Georgia, Leon Macon, Alabama, H.C. Garwood, Florida, Floyd Looney, California, W.C. Stevens, Arizona, J.M. Dawson, District of Columbia, David Moore, Arkansas, J. M. Gaskin, Oklahoma, term expiring in 1956. Local board members, all expiring in 1957. J. P. Edmonds, Tennessee. O. W. Taylor, Tennessee. The American Baptist Theological Seminary, terms expiring in 57, unless designated. Lowry Compeer, Mississippi. G. B. Hibbs, North Carolina. Oscar T. Nelson, Tennessee. S. A. Newman, North Carolina. Harry M. Rourke, Oklahoma, term expiring in 1956. For the Holding Board, terms expiring in 1957, Foy Valentine, Texas, L. B. Stevens, Tennessee, Andrew D. Tanner, Tennessee. The Brotherhood Commission, all terms expiring in 57. Fred Cole, New Mexico, A. Roy Green, Tennessee, Jesse M. Johnson, Virginia, F. D. Mabry, Louisiana, R. B. Reeve, California, T. Gordon Ryan, Texas, Lynn Russell, Florida. Local board members, terms expiring in 57, Charles G. Bobo, Mississippi, C. Frank Scott, Tennessee, E. C. Smith, Tennessee. Public Affairs Committee, elected for 1 year only, W. R. Alexander, Texas, Chairman, Walter Pope Benz, Missouri, E. F. Camel, Virginia, Walter Carpenter, District of Columbia, E. H. DeGroote, Jr., District of Columbia, Ralph Cole, District of Columbia, James L. Sullivan, Tennessee, Eldon W. Koch, Maryland, Mrs. George R. Martin, Virginia, A. C. Miller, Tennessee, Baker James Cawthon, Virginia, Courts Redford, Georgia, Porter W. Ruth, Tennessee, George W. Schroeder, Tennessee, and James W. Storer, our President of Oklahoma. The Committee on Order of Business, elected for 1 year only, John L. Slaughter, South Carolina, Chairman, Porter M. Bales, Texas, John W. McCall, Mississippi, James Coggins, Tennessee, J.D. Herndon, Kentucky, M. Jackson White, Virginia, A.A. Dulaney, New Mexico. Mr. President, I move the adoption of this report and the election of these as designated for the offices to which they are nominated.
Thank you, sir. You've heard the report. Are you ready for its adoption? Are there any? Just a moment, please. Dr. Ruth, Brother Ruth has...
Mr. President, with the enlarged executive committee, 14 additional people have been added, and it has just come to my attention this morning that with the report of this committee, it will mean that practically half of the executive committee would rotate off in one particular year, whereas the bylaws call for the membership to be divided into three groups as nearly equal as possible. And I should like to move this amendment to the report that the new members added to the executive committee be divided into terms of 1, 2, and 3 years according to the alphabetical beginning of their name, with the understanding that future committees on boards must consider the bylaw which states that all members shall serve for a period of 3 years at least. That would mean that those who would be elected for 1 year terms this year would have to be named next year for an additional 3 year term at least. Those named for 2 years would be elected for an additional 3 year terms in 1956. Otherwise, you would have half of your executive committee going off in any 1 year. This would divide them into three groups, and yet it would assure that any of these men who are named would serve at least 3 years, some perhaps four or five, and of course would be eligible to serve two full terms in addition to the part of term they might be named for this morning.
Thank you, sir. Is there a second to that amendment? Motion is made and seconded. As you will vote on the amendment now, please. Those in favor, will please say aye. Contrary, no. The amendment is carried. Is there anything else in connection with your report?
Yes, Mr. President. One name that we omitted or neglected to add to the Historical Commission, Leo T. Christman, Kentucky, will take the place of Dr. Carver. Forgive me. We'd like to add that name. And, Mr. President, if I might add this or change my motion or make this an addition, that this report be adopted and these elected subject to any necessary revision. We mean by that that in copying that it's possible that there have been some errors and some mistakes made, and it would permit the secretary or the committee to correct those errors as they are noted.
Thank you, sir. I'm sure with common consent that will be done as a successor to Brother Carver. The motion now is in order on the report as amended. Those in favor will please say aye. Contrary, no. And it is so ordered. Incidentally, let me say that this is a very, very difficult committee on which to serve, and these brethren have labored long and prayerfully, and I know it has not been an easy task to do. The next item on our order of business is the report of the Committee on Negro Ministerial Education, Brother Leo Edelman of Kentucky, Chairman.
Mr. President, I would like to move the adoption of this report as it is printed in the Book of Reports. And if it is seconded, then I'd like to point out two or three aspects of it.
The report is in your Book of Reports. A motion has been made and seconded that it be adopted, and then Brother Edelman wishes to speak to it. Your pleasure. Those in favor of adopting it will please say aye. Contrary-minded, no. It is carried, and Brother Edelman.
Two or three phases of the report we want to underscore. First of all, the fact, as is stated in the outset of this report, that our Negro brethren comprise a large percentage of the total number of Baptists, both in the world and in the United States. 1/3 of the Baptists of the world, of that 20,250,000 of which we heard yesterday, are Negroes. About 1/2 of the Baptists in the United States, North America, also are Negro Baptists. Second thing that we would underscore is the fact that since our seminaries, some few years ago, opened their doors to Negroes, we have actually perhaps had fewer Negro students than previously, if the figures submitted to me by the various registrars are correct. This is possibly due to a combination of reasons, one of which is the fact that many of our Negro brethren still attend the seminaries in other areas and of other denominations. Another, the fact of the deplorable condition of our Negro colleges, so few of which are accredited. And thirdly, perhaps the desire of our Negro brethren to continue to pursue their educational objectives among their own people. But we would like, most of all, to underscore the fact that historically, our Negro Baptists have been extremely loyal to us, to the Lord, to their churches, and to the denomination. I hold in my hand a statement in the form of a leaflet that's put out by the First Baptist Church of Columbia, South Carolina, which carries this incident of Civil War days. On December the 20th, 1860, the Confederate Secession Convention met in the building of the First Baptist Church of Columbia, South Carolina. On the night of February 17, 1865, 5 years later, some of the men of General Sherman's forces were intent on burning the church where, quote, so much mischief, unquote, had been started. The story of how this church escaped the torch is quite interesting. We're told that the raiders inquired of a Negro man who happened to be the church sexton if, quote, this is the Baptist church where that mischief was started, unquote. One version states that the Negro janitor told them no, but that the Baptist church was located on the corner to the north, and they therefore proceeded to burn the Washington Street Methodist Church. Your committee wants to point out above everything else that Negro Baptists have been far more loyal to white Baptists than the other way around. And we appreciate the adoption of the report.
Brother Edelman, I want to commend you too, sir. You are the only one so far who is not colorblind. And I think that's wonderful. Heretofore, we've had brethren who had never paid attention to this light. I haven't paid attention to them, so everything's going along all right. The next item to come to us, and that is the American Baptist Theological Seminary, Brother Sedbury, who is the of Tennessee, who is the secretary, and who is ready for the report, I believe.
Mr. President, the report of the Commission on the American Seminary is on page 308 of the Book of Reports. I want to move, Mr. President, its adoption.
Heard the motion. Is there a second? Motion is made and seconded that this report be adopted. Those in favor will please say aye. Contrary, no. It is ordered. Brother Sedbury.
I want to comment some on this report because there's some very good news that has come in since the report was written. One part of the report calls attention to the seminary financial condition at the close of the year 1953. It points out that at that time, the seminary was behind in its bills payable to some $5,000. That sum increased during the next few months until by the end of April, the seminary owed $9,000 that it couldn't pay. Then, when word was sent to the new president of the National Baptist Convention, Dr. J.H. Jackson, he came all the way from Chicago down to Nashville and presented the seminary with a check for $10,000 that lifted the seminary out of the hole and paid all of its obligations. So, I believe we could say that something has happened this year for which we've been praying for 30 years. The seminary is 30 years of age. It was begun in 1924. It was a cooperative movement, a sharing adventure between white Southern Baptists and Negro National Baptists. Southern Baptists said, "We'll buy the land and build the buildings for you." National Baptists said, "We'll buy the furnishings for the building." Then together we'll join hands and pay each convention, pay 50% of the operating expenses of the seminary. Well, during that 30-year period, there have been many times of crisis, many times when it looked like the seminary couldn't make a go of it. But I believe today the prospects are brighter than we've ever known in the entire history of the American Baptist Theological Seminary. Southern Baptists during that 30-year period have given over $1 million to this school. $600,000 of that sum has gone for capital needs. Buildings, grounds, they are there now. We've got something to show for the money that was spent, beautiful buildings. Dormitory, administration building, central heating plant, beautiful new library building, 5 apartment units, 3 faculty houses. And so we've got something to show for the money that we've invested. Approximately $400,000 has been spent in the operation of the school. Many times during that period, our National Baptist brethren could not meet their share of the 50% operating expenses. And Southern Baptists have gone beyond their half and saved the school a number of times. I believe that this year we have the answer to our prayers. Dr. J.H. Jackson, the new president of the National Baptist Convention, has told us that he's going to put the emphasis from now on a trained ministry. That's a new note for which we've been praying. This great host of Negro Baptists need leadership more than anything else. They have not had any experience in leadership, very limited experience. They have not been able to profit much by our experience because they've been shut off from us. So it seems to me that we ought to share with them the lessons that we've learned in administration and leadership. And so we believe that in the future, this seminary is going to succeed and go forward. Dr. Jackson has led his convention to put on a $50,000 campaign for the seminary this year. It's already going on. Money is coming in, pledges are being made. Enthusiasm is being aroused. And as a result of this increased interest and enthusiasm, many new students are applying for admittance to the seminary. Of course, the enrollment has been small, as it is in all of the Negro seminaries. They are woefully short in ministerial students. But we have an increase already for next year. The present enrollment for this year was 65 students. During the coming year, we already have 78 applications for admittance to the seminary. That within itself is a wonderful reassurance that our program is doing good. During this 30 years, Dr. R.W. Riley has been president of the seminary for the past 10 years. During that time, the seminary has grown a great deal. It's made progress from a small school in one building to an outstanding institution with a good plant. Now, the plant is not completed. All the buildings are not built. But we believe that Southern Baptists will keep their part of the bargain. They will build the buildings as needed. A new chapel is needed. More apartment units are needed. A president's home is needed. Faculty houses are needed. And we believe that Southern Baptists will continue to do their part and carry on this cooperative work with our Negro brethren. I want to tell you something thrilling about the students there in the American Seminary. They're going out in the city. They're visiting the hospitals. Last year, they made 355 visits to the hospitals, to the home for the aged, 30 visits, to the detention home, 70 visits, to the county jail in which they hold regular preaching services, 66 visits, to the community center, 167 visits, and to the home for the blind Negro children. They have gone regularly and held services each Sunday afternoon. I think you will rejoice in the work they're doing. They count 153 conversions in their record for the past year. Someone has asked me, what will be the effect of the Supreme Court decision on the American Seminary? It seems to me it ought to give it a greater opportunity. It ought to take off the shackles that have bound it. It ought to make cooperation easier. It ought to make it possible for both white and colored students to study together there in this seminary, backed by Southern Baptists and led by National Baptists. It ought to be an example of Christian interracial cooperation, such as Jesus taught we should follow 2,000 years ago. I want to present to you this morning some of the members of our commission and the dean of our school, and Dr. Riley, if he's come in. He's expected here today. First, I want to ask Dr. Glass, Victor Glass, the dean of our school, to come forward. And Dr. Compeer of Mississippi, one of our commission, and Dr. Oscar Nelson of Madison, Tennessee, pastor of the First Baptist Church, if he will come. I want Dr. Glass to say just a word. Dr. Glass.
Sudbury, President, I would say this, that after 17 years of working day by day with Negro people and Negro Baptists, that they are our allies. And we need these great people as much as they need us.
Dr. Larry Compeer of Mississippi.
If I have a doctor's degree, it came from the Mississippi Baptist Seminary, which is similar to this one at Nashville.
Dr. Oscar T. Nelson of Nashville.
I just want to thank God for this great school that's doing so much for our colored people. As we see their alumni come back for various meetings and hear the work they're doing, it makes our hearts glad to know we've had a share in it through the years. And again, I want to thank God for this fine man who left a fine pastorate in the city of Nashville to take up the work he's doing out there as a full-time secretary for our seminary there. We thank God for his great work.
Brethren, thank you so much. We are proceeding right on time, and let me give this word of congratulations.
Dr. Riley has just come in. Could he say a word?
Yes, sir. I'm informed Dr. Riley and Brother Riley has come, and if he will come to the platform, we'll be happy indeed to have him say a word to us.
Dr. Riley, who's been president of the seminary for the past 10 years, who's seen it grow marvelously, is here. I want him to say a word to us and bring us greetings.
Nice to see you. Thank you, Dr. Sidney. Mr. President and members of the Southern Baptist Convention, thanks to bring you greetings from the National Baptist Convention, USA, and the American Baptist Theological Seminary, of which I'm more vitally a part. We join you today in the great task of soul winning and evangelism, which has been the great task of the church, and which today becomes more increasingly the task of Baptists than any other denomination. For we alone can preach the gospel and the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. In a world plight of intoxicated masses of self-willed people, the forces which seek to destroy our God-given freedom, the rights of man, the onrush of social evil, the upshoots of strange and unprecedented changes taking place all around us, make it more imperative that we not only rethink our position as Baptists, but as Christians, and in the spirit of Christ, rise to meet the challenges of the new day. The constituency of the National Baptist Convention today are more concerned about the education of its ministry than ever. And I'm convinced that the new leadership of our convention will, in the days ahead, rise to meet these issues as the days come and go. National Baptists feel that second to the church, our schools are the most potential agencies of goodwill at our disposal, and that the American Baptist Theological Seminary, now in its 30th year of existence, in the training of ministerial leadership of our people, justifies its position in three distinct phases, which I want to point out briefly. First of all, it justifies its position in its unique fitness in preparing men and women for missions, Christian education, and the gospel ministry. It is the largest theological seminary of its kind, around which missionary colored Baptists believe in and support in all the world. Second, in its appeal and outreach in enrolling men from 29 states and 5 foreign countries. Its gradual growth and intake of a cross-section of students far exceed any theological seminary we know. Third, it justifies its position in its 30th year of preparation and fitness of approximately 500 students who have gone throughout the earth as living witnesses to itself and to him and to the cause of him who sent them. They are rapidly assuming places of leadership in our various cities and communities, as well as our great denomination. And we, more than ever before, with you as our helpers, are dedicated to the conviction that an educated, consecrated Christian ministry is our greatest resource, and we shall continue through sound scholarship, larger giving, student enlistment, and interracial cooperation until the task of the education of God's holy men shall become a reality of constant concern, and the American Baptist Theological Seminary shall become the ideal in theological education and the pride and joy of Baptists throughout the nation.
I've known Brother Riley for a number of years, and he is a wonderful Christian gentleman, and we are indeed proud of him and his relationship to our seminary in Nashville. Now, preceding the report of the seminaries, which is to be brought by Brother Level, we have music which Dean Angel will introduce to you now, please.
Our special music at this time is the Golden Gate Men's Ensemble, Carlisle Bennett, director.